Okay, this morning we are going to spend some time in Proverbs chapter 3, and we are going to go through the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3. So let me read these 12 verses, and then we'll pray. The Word of God says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him who he loves as a father the son in whom he delights." Pray with me. Father, in this time of worship, Father, I pray that you would be glorified. Father, may your word ring true. Father, I need your help this morning. Father, I can do nothing without you. Father, I pray that your word would speak clearly to us. Bless this time of fellowship. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. In 970 BC, a father called his son to the side of his deathbed. On his deathbed, a man at the end of his life humbly chose to bestow important nuggets of gold to his son. This man was none other than King David, a man after God's own heart. This man, knowing the importance to bestow knowledge to his son, at the end of his life, passed on great wisdom. This is something I think that most of us can relate with. In your life, whether it was your father or your mother or someone very important in your life, they would bestow honor to you. If you just take a moment and call that golden nugget or those golden nuggets to mind. The teaching of a father to the children, bestowing knowledge. That's what we're going to see in our text today. We'll be spending our time in chapter 3. And this morning, let me just set up a little bit of the book of Proverbs to you this morning. This book is what is called wisdom literature. There are other books in the Bible given this title, the title of wisdom literature. A couple of other of those books that includes Ecclesiastes, Job, Song of Solomon, and if you've read those books at all lately, you can see why they would call them wisdom literature, right? There is golden nuggets of wisdom all throughout there. Okay, the author of the book of Proverbs is a man by the name of Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man to ever live, okay? We're going to get into that in just a minute. But Solomon, gaining knowledge from his father, who was David, and from the Lord. Okay, the Lord instructs Solomon and blesses him with wisdom more than any other man who lived before Solomon or after Solomon. So as we study Proverbs today, just keep in mind, most of Proverbs was written by the wisest man to ever live. There are a few other authors who have things in Proverbs also. So wisdom literature, Proverbs is based on the idea of fearing the Lord, okay? We'll get into that a little bit more in our passage. Today, we're going to see five promises from the Father to the Son, okay? Five promises. Here's our five promises. First, in verse 1, my son, do not forget my teaching. Okay, my son, do not forget my teaching. Second, do not forsake steadfast love and faithfulness. Okay, third, trust the Lord with all your heart in verse 5. Promise number 4 is honor the Lord with your wealth. And then promise 5 is do not despise the Lord's discipline. Now, what our author does here is he structures this passage in such a way that he builds up to the main point, which is in verse 5. So what I want to do this morning is I want to go through the passage. Verses 1 through 4 is the Father building up to what he really wants the Son to grasp. Okay, what the Father really wants the Son to grasp is to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Okay, to trust in the Lord with all your heart. So let's go through verses 1 through 4 and see what we can glean from the Father giving these instructions. Okay, what's the first thing he says? He says, my sons, do not forget my teaching. What this implies is that the Father has been bestowing his teaching onto the Son over a period of time. Okay, do not forget, which means we know the knowledge. We have the knowledge. Okay, so the Father's been bestowing this knowledge to the Son. Do not forget my teaching. What's the second thing he says there? Let your heart keep my commandments. Okay, let your heart keep my commandments. The plea to listen and keep the statutes that are taught, this is as old as the Garden of Eden. The first thing that God commands man to do, he says, you may eat of any tree except for the tree of good and evil. Okay, do not eat of this tree for your own good. Okay? Do not forget my teaching. Keep my commandments for your own good. This loving instruction from God was for the benefit of Adam. This action to remember, okay, to keep the teaching and commandments brings nothing but benefit through obedience. Okay, this is a foundational reality that is that a good and loving father gives instruction. This father is a good and loving father for bestowing instruction on his son. Okay? There are five benefits that go along with the five promises in our text. I'm going to cover all of those at one time. So I'm not leaving these out. I just want to keep going with these five promises, and then we'll get back to the benefits of all of them, okay? So promise number 1, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments, okay? Promise number 2, or command number 2, let steadfast love and faithfulness not forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Steadfast love and faithfulness. Steadfast love and faithfulness comes from God the Father. Okay, to have steadfast love, we must get it from the Father. This truth that Solomon is bestowing, he knows where this comes from. Okay? This truth is the heart and the desire comes from a very wise man. In 2 Chronicles 1:10, we see this. This is Solomon praying to the Lord for wisdom and knowledge. For what purpose? To go out and come in before this people, for who can govern this people of yours, which is so great. Okay? Solomon's heart was to do a good job with wisdom and understanding, to govern God's people with steadfast love and faithfulness can only be done through God. What Solomon is praying for is for the good of all of those around him. Okay? So that is promise number two. Another thing that we see in these first four verses is the call to listen to these words, okay? The word of God. The word of God says, the word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path in Psalms 119. Proverbs 6 says the commandments and the instructions is a lamp and a light, and the reproof or discipline are the way of life, constantly calling us to remember these statutes and commandments. This Father knows that we quickly wander. Okay, we quickly wander. We so often have to be called back to the Word of God, to the gospel, to the light. Okay, we also see that God puts his word into our hearts by giving us a desire to know him. Okay, the commandments and teaching of God is for our benefit. We need the word of God. The word of God is essential for sanctification. In John 17, it's essential to show us how to not sin against God in Psalms 119. It's essential for our spiritual nourishment in Matthew 4:4. This word of God, this calling that the Father wants his Son to remember, namely steadfast love and faithfulness and the teaching in the word of God, he wants us to not forget. Okay? Cling to the word of God and do not let it go. This is the most loving thing that a father can do for their child, is to bestow this wisdom to their children. Okay, what is the knowledge that this father is seeking to bestow to his child? Okay, he says in verse one, my teaching and my commandments. What are those? What has this father been teaching? This father has been teaching to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Verse 5. Verse 5 is the heart of our passage today. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Believe in the Lord. The father lays out this instruction, builds his case to tell his child this golden nugget of information. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That is what this father has been wanting to share since the beginning. The goal in this section is to help us understand why this is the most important reality the father could bestow. Why is this what the father tells the son? This is the greatest commandment that the son can live under. This will affect every part of the son's life. Trusting in the Lord will affect every part of your life. If you will hear and keep this commandment, this will be salvation. If this son will trust and believe, Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. To trust in the Lord is to be saved. To repent of your sins. This genuine believing is what the Father wants from the Son. Hey, do you see this promise that the Father is bestowing? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. This love that the Father is giving to the child, this promise of life and salvation comes from God to us also. John 3:16, very popular verse. Many of you have it memorized. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should have eternal life. To trust and believe is to turn away from your own understanding. What does it look like to trust in the Lord with all of your heart? It looks like turning away from your own understanding. To trust and obey the call of the Father. To keep my commandments is to trust the Lord. Obedience to these commands is evident of a heart surrendered to the Father's instruction. Genuine saving faith has evidence of love for the Father and his commandments. John 14:21. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. We're going to see more of that in our passage later. So the heart fully trusting in the Lord does not lean on its own understanding. This command is thoughtfully placed right after the precise and clear instruction to put all of your trust in God. Very quickly do we find ourselves in a hard situation. I'll speak for myself here. What do I want to do? I want to start leaning just a little bit on my own understanding and what I think I can do. No, the call here is to put all of your trust in the Lord, all of it. Okay, we're going to see that as we go further on. You cannot put all of your trust in the Lord and lean on your own understanding. Those two things do not go together. You cannot trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean on your own understanding. They are directly opposed. God is immeasurably higher than man. His ways are higher. His thoughts are higher. To trust in the Lord is to acknowledge him. Be mindful of all the things he is doing. What was the last kind thing somebody did for you? Hopefully you don't have to think very long. That's God's kindness at work. That's God doing good things for you, sustaining you. Be not wise in your own eyes. God is great and man is foolish. Trust that the Father is calling his children, the trust this Father is calling his children to blows out of the water anything that I can bring to the table. There is nothing good in me without Christ. There is nothing good in us without Christ. This is good news for us today, friends. This draws us to trust in the Lord. If there is no good in me outside of Christ, what else do we have? Who else can we trust in? The Lord is worthy of all of your trust. He is bidding you come and depend on him. For the mountains may part and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord. Our God is good and faithful. What a wonderful reality to cling to. The next instruction the Father calls his children to is in verse 9 and 10, specifically 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all of your produce. The call in verse 9 to honor the Lord with your first fruits is a biblical truth that is all throughout the Bible, Old Testament to New. It applies to one of the biggest battles we as men and women in this day and age struggle with. To honor the Lord means to give him praise for what he has given you. Okay? To give him praise for what he has given you. How do we give back freely, generously, and joyfully the first fruits that the Lord has given us? I want you to keep these words in mind. Freely, generously, and joyfully. To honor the Lord with the first fruits is to do this. To freely, generously, and joyfully give back. How do we do that? By trusting in the Lord. This all stems from verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The question I would like to answer this morning concerning this truth is, how do we do this? Namely, honor the Lord with our first fruits, and why is it so good for us to do? So how do we do it, and why is it so good for us? Trust in the Lord enables this kind of honor. What about trust enables generous and joyful giving? Trust means full dependence on things seen and unseen. Trust means full dependence on things seen and unseen. Let me explain what I mean. Many of you that know me know I'm a fireman. We as firemen, there are many things that we put our trust in, many things seen and unseen. For example, we trust the person next to us. We trust the equipment we use. We trust the pump and the hose and the nozzle that is going to protect us from this fire. Okay? Those are all things that I can see as a fireman. Things I can't see. I can't see the wind. I don't know what it's going to do in the next 5 minutes. I can't see the humidity. I can't see how fast the floor is going to burn out from underneath of me. So what enables these brave men and women to go into burning buildings? It's trust. It's trust in the person next to him. Sometimes you can't see the person standing right next to you. It's trust that that hose is going to do its job. Now, this trust and confidence that the blessing of going in to this harsh environment with great risk, the confidence that the blessing is worth the cost is what I want you to grasp. To be able to freely trust God in all of his wisdom, in all of his honor, in all of his glory. He is the giver of all good things. Now let's talk about the things that we can't see. Namely, I want to tie this into the seen and unseen attributes of God, because that is what enables us to trust him with all of our heart. What are these seen and unseen attributes of God? His faithfulness. Can you see God's faithfulness? Yes, you can. Can you see God's kindness to you? Yes, you can. Now, what are some of God's unseen attributes? Think of Noah and the ark. Building this ark hasn't rained. And what does God call him to do? Build this boat because it's going to rain. Noah does that in faith. Okay? Does not know, but believes. Noah believed in God. Okay, what about the woman who fed Elijah in Zarephath? I'm going to gather sticks and cook our last morsel so my son and I may eat and then die. This is unseen kindness from God. She had no idea where her next meal was coming from. Okay, there are many other unseen attributes of God. Trust enables us by freeing us to give all we have to give back to God, the giver of all good things in James 1:17. Because of who God is. Okay, God is mercy and God is love and God is righteousness and God is compassionate and God is sovereign and God is just, to name just a few. This is how trust enables us to honor the Lord. Why is this so good for us? What can we cling to? What can we cling to? How do we let go of the anxiety of what's going to happen with my family or what's going to happen in this trial of health, or what's going to happen with my job? What do we do with all of these real anxieties that we can have? We know and we trust from the Word of God that God is good and God is compassionate and God is righteous. This giving of the first fruits keeps us depending on our Father instead of depending on our own understanding. Keeps us depending on our Father instead of depending on our own understanding. This command must be cultivated. This is something that the Lord grows in us. The need and the dependence. I think we can all think of times where the Lord has brought us out of our comfort zone, growing us to trust him, to be more dependent, trusting the one who gives all things. Our fifth command in verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. What's it mean to despise? Despise means to look down upon. to scorn, to loathe, to find disgust. This is not a humble, loving heart. The father is trying to train the child to have a loving and humble heart. We see how pride and arrogance is what makes a person despise discipline. We see hints of that in our passage. Do not lean on your own understanding. Someone who is leaning on their own understanding won't take instruction. They already know the best thing to do. Be not wise in your own eyes. Same concept. If you're wise in your own eyes, you already know the right thing to do, according to you. You won't take instruction. To call the son to not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof is good for us to hear. What does the discipline of the Lord look like for us? When you hear the word discipline, do you think training? Do you think exercising faith? I'll bet there's a few children here that don't see that or don't think of that when someone says discipline. Discipline in Scripture is this idea of training. This training refers to upbringing and education. Yes, there is a side of discipline that is painful. That is true. And that is biblically based. The discipline that we are looking at today is a training. This father is training this child. The Lord's discipline trains us. To raise up a child in the way that he should go, we have many, many children here in Ridgeview, and that is such a huge blessing. And as parents and grandparents and neighbors, I would encourage you to raise up your children in the way that they should go. Pray that they would not despise the Lord's discipline. Pray that they would cling to the training and keep the commandments that faithful parents bestow to their children. Scripture tells us to not train up or be trained in the fear and the love of the Lord is folly. To not be trained by the Lord is folly. Proverbs 1:7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't despise wisdom and instruction. Love is not being left to our own devices without reproof or discipline. The father of a righteous man will greatly rejoice, and he who fathers a wise son will delight in him. Proverbs 23. So we have these five commands in our passage today. Do not forget my teaching. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Be not wise in your own eyes. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Sorry, that was six. I want you to see the reasons behind all five of these commands. Look at verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. What a promise. If you will not depart from steadfast love and faithfulness, you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Verse 6, He will make straight your paths. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Verse 8. If we acknowledge him, if we fear the Lord and turn away from evil, trust in the Lord, honor the Lord with your wealth, then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. Such great promises. Now we know in Scripture that as Christians, we are going to have trials and we're going to have tribulations. And that's why verse 5 is so crucial to our life. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. What's the promise he gives us in verse 12? I want to call your eyes to verse 12. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Now grasp this with me. The Lord reproves him who he loves. Is the Lord training you in righteousness? Are there things in your life that the Lord is pruning? Why should we not grow weary of the Lord's reproof? Because the Father delights in the Son whom he reproves. Because of love, that's love. Being trained. These five promises that come with our commands today, if we will heed and listen to them, the Lord will be glorified. The Lord will delight in us. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not grow weary of being trained in the way of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, you are good and faithful, and we need you, Father. Father, I pray that we would trust in you with all of our hearts. Father, I pray that this would enable us to walk with you faithfully. God, we are nothing without you. Father, may the gospel, the love of Christ, fill our hearts today. Father, thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.